time and be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. On my series, Off the Beaten Path, think about this title, Sitting by the Fire, the Ultimate Heartwarming Experience. I'm going to speak today about all the different fires you could have around your house, wood-burning stoves, fireplace, fire pits, to getting out there camping and backpacking. You know, and I've written this show sitting next to my wood-burning stove. Today I'm going to discuss places safely to have a fire, which not only warms the body, but the heart. We're going to talk about how to start them, how to extinguish them, you know, being safe with all of that, the types of fun that you and your family can have sitting around them. You know, I'm blessed because I have a fireplace and a wood-burning stove inside my house and a fire pit outside. So if you're installing a wood-burning stove, and let's start there since I'm sitting right next to it, make sure you have the correct size for the room it will be in. And here's a key thing. I was going to purchase a wood-burning stove. My buddy Coach Gorski said, hey, I've got one sitting in a box here, Vermont Castings, and you find the brand you like, one of the better brands that are out there. He said, and I haven't used it for years. It's just sitting here. So I bought it from Coach, and I made sure that it would actually warm my first floor. And I'm going to tell you right now, and this isn't even stoking it, when I have a good fire going in there, the downstairs, you get this. And those of you that understand this, I have a rocking chair that's next to it, and there's many times I'll just sit down there just to relax for a second, and I'm telling you, it's just like with a fire, instantly I'm asleep. You know, I've got this beautiful Southwest home. I've got hand-carved posts, an open floor plan there, and I'm going to say that wood-burning stove to me is just one of the nicer things. You're having family and friends over. This is one of my favorite places. But one of the key things now, wood-burning stoves give off a dry heat. So you need to have some type of water. And I actually have an enamel bowl that sits on there filled with water. It's also great heat on cold winter nights and days. So if you need to increase, think about this. If you're going to increase the heat inside there, you need to make sure that you're stoking. And again, you have to be around to do that. The nice thing about a wood-burning stove, and what's about the safety side of it, is because it is an enclosed firebox, you can actually walk away from it. Fireplaces, I tend not to want to walk away from that reason, I mean, because it is an opening, even though you have your fire screen in front of it. We'll talk more about that. So you need to make sure that the firebox itself is large enough for a quality fire. And if you're installing it, again, put in the correct size. And if you don't know that, ask a professional. You know, I use my fireplace less because of the size, because its firebox is not very large. I have it's a real old, beautiful home that I live in, you know, built in the 1920s, love everything about it. But the fireplace, Southwest fireplace that was built in there, firebox is not large. So I really don't get that really warm fire that I'm looking. So we'll talk about fire safety in a little bit, and I'll discuss that as we go on. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. Now, one of my favorite places is my outside fire pit. You know, if you want to entertain family and friends, you know, you could have the group, because the fire pit that I have is people can sit all around it. And you get to warm the feet and the hearts, and I was talking about that before, but I really mean this. It's just one of the better places to entertain. There have been times that I have actually shoveled out around it in the snow, and we would actually sit out there. You know, many winter fires, you know, your beverages can stay cold in the snow, if you get my drift on that one. And I will address later on the fun times in a moment. Now, in the wild, there's two types of fires, at campsites and then when you're backpacking. And I made those and differentiated between the two because you'll see as I go along here. Your campsites, it's great family, you know, fun getaways. You may get a weekend trip out of it. It's inexpensive vacations as you travel. So you have that, and it's perfect introductory to get people into camping, you know, those first-time campers. Just a real neat place to go to. Key here is you need to go only to the approved fire rings, and most campsites have their own fire ring, and not to stoke the fire larger than safety limits. So there's, you know, we always talk the keys to safety. That's one of them. When you're backpacking, many times you're able to make your own fire ring. You know, most people make them out of the rocks. Well, again, make an appropriate size fire. And since I practice leave no trace camping, put cool rocks back exactly where you found them. Now, it's important to note that anyone causing a forest fire from a larger than acceptable safe fire is responsible for paying for the forest firefighting bill, which can go into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Some parts of the country, you also have to pay to reforest what was burnt. So, you know, there is a safety side of things, and then there's, hey, being kind to nature. So we need to make sure that we make good decisions. Next, let's go to bonfires, and they're usually created or monitored by local towns. You know, the town where I grew up, where I was raised, you know, at Christmas, there would be some sing-alongs by the fire. At pep rallies, they used to have, you know, nightly fires next to the town pond. Really neat. Growing up, next to our town pond, there would be a bonfire going. There were called skate guards that were there. You know, they just monitor the fire and monitor, you know, kids on the ice. And since I was an ice hound in the wintertime, hockey was my second sport growing up. Just loved it. You know, and then today at my friend Jim's farm pond, you know, we continue to skate there. And sometimes during the summer, we're, you know, we'll call it night fishing, but we're really just hanging out. You know, we have the fire next to it. So, you know, at town events, you have local firefighters that are on the scene. But at your own events, you always have to ensure safety as a priority. And it's also a good way to introduce children, especially if you're going to begin to take them camping and backpacking as time goes on, to introduce them to fire safety. My little niece, Gabby, who is like my shadow, follows me all around, which is a great thing. We do lots of things in the outdoors. Well, Gabby sat by her first family fire. You know, we had a nice big old fire family reunion. And we were talking because Gabby helped me light it. And we'll talk about how to light fires later on, extinguish them. So I taught her how to light it, but I taught her as we were putting it together. My cousin Chris was there. The three of us are outside while the rest of the family's inside, staying warm until we can get the fire going. Well, you know, she got to learn a little bit about, as we discussed, fire safety and the things that are there. And I'm always talking about educating our youth. You know, one of the most important conversations we can ever have here, let's obviously, is fire safety. I always speak about safety in the outdoors, but one story will exemplify this. Now, one of my best friends, Dr. Bob, and Dr. Bob had a chimenea, back porch, and had some family and friends over. I happened to be on the road filming that day, so I wasn't there. And the next morning, Dr. Bob and I, we were going to be going fishing. And we've been best friends since we've been kids. We've been fishing since we were kids. Well, Bob put the fire out in the chimenea. So he thought, and here's a guy, and I'm telling you, when we backpack, Bob is like the by-the-rules guy. So I'm saying, I've been with his best friend growing up at many backpack fires, many camping fires, you know, throughout our lifetime. And in his mind, chimenea was out. He goes to bed, and he's in bed, and for whatever reason, wakes up, and he sees flames shooting out the side of his house. Like, he's looking out his window, and flames are shooting up. So he grabs his wife, goes to the next room, grabs his two sons, and gets them out of the house. And his house is engulfed in flames. And his house, by the way, did burn to the ground. So when we talk about fire safety and ensuring that fire is out, here's a man that I would trust to put any fire out anytime. And his house actually burnt to the ground. Well, two little stories that go along with it, because let's always try to find, you know, humor somewhere in life so we can put a smile on our face. First one is, I've always called his dog, and he'd understand this, I've always called his dog Dumb Dog. Well, house is on fire. He, his wife, his two children are out in the front lawn. His wife goes, oh, the dog, go. So Bob goes running back into a burning house. So you would think, like, you know, the old Lassie thing where, you know, you're sound asleep and the dog grabs you by the collar and drags you out of bed. Well, that didn't happen. And Bob goes running into the house, and Dumb Dog is sound asleep on his bed. And the wall behind him is engulfed in flames. So Bob did rescue Dumb Dog. And the next morning, Bob and I were supposed to be going kayaking. And I'll also say this about Bob, best friend, so I could say this about him. He has been late for absolutely any adventure we've ever done. Bob has been late. So Bob is supposed to be at my house with his kayak. Obviously, next morning, Bob is late. So I call him up, and he's going, I've got the greatest excuse. Again, best friend, so you can say this to him. I said, there's no excuse for you. Just get over. He goes, no, my house just burnt down. I got the greatest. I go, Bob, just get over here, because I think he's joking with me. And he says, wait a minute. And he hands the phone, and the phone he's handing to happens to be the fire chief, and I'll just say it's fire chief, like Bob Smith. He goes, here. And the guy gets on the phone and goes, yes, this is fire chief Bob Smith. Yes, Bob's house just burnt to the ground. So I said, could you please put Bob back on the phone? And Bob gets on and goes, so Bob, so all right, your house burnt down. So we going kayaking? Because, again, wanted to put a smile on his face. So I did drive over. Kayaks was on my roof because I was ready to roll. And I went over there to make sure that they were okay. And it's amazing. And this is just, when you talk about family and then you talk about the friends and your neighbors. Well, when neighbors get together, by the time I got over there, they had everything they needed. There was food. They were, and it really wasn't cold out or anything, but they had blankets wrapped around them, like all of those things. And the neighbors were already taking them into their house. So I did show up there. But Bob did rebuild his house. And think about this, rebuilt with a bigger fireplace, because once again, Bob respects that fire. And again, that's one of the things. So let's talk about now the keys to outside fires. And the first one you have to pay attention to is wind. I'm going to tell you right now, if there's a strong wind, have your fire another night. Hey, there's so many times like I plan daytime that we're going to, we'll have a fire tonight, invite some people over, outside fire pit, and the winds pick up and that fire is canceled. Might we move inside? And the answer is yeah, but you need to make sure whether you're fire pitting, but if you're camping, it might be a colder camping night and it might be a colder backpacking night because you don't have a fire, but that's the safety side of thing. And then the other side with the keys to outside fires is your distance from structures. It could be your house. It could be any structure, including the woods, the forest, trees, anything. So we need to make sure. Now, I'll give you a real good example. Where I live, there's only a few neighbors. And one of my neighbors that had just moved in, and I guess he was excited about having his first fire. He had, those metal stanchion fire pits that you buy or whatever you want to call them. And he's out there, and it was a windy night. He overloaded the fire pit, and then he would walk inside from time to time. And I looked outside, and this thing was ripping. And I'm going, no, this can't be. And I actually went outside, and he came outside, and he goes, Joe, what are you doing here? I said, well, my name's Joey, and you can call me Joe, whatever you want to call me. I said, but guess what? You got to monitor. Oh, don't worry about it. The fire's... And I said, no. You got to take care of this. And I said, this isn't the time to have a fire this large, windy. And he was sort of taken back by it. And then I started to share with him the story about Dr. Bob. And then, again, he was just excited about, new house and having a fire and sitting outside. And I understand that. But there's that safety side. And again, he was very respectful. And again, think about this. You show up and all of a sudden your new next door neighbor sitting by your fire, which you should have been anyway. But he understood it. So there's something to be said about that. Now, for wood burning stoves, and I said this, the fire in there is contained, the other firebox. So it's a great safety feature. But with fireplaces, so whether you have a wood burning stove or a fireplace, you need to make sure that you have a flue cap and some screening on there. And with the screening and the cap, that's going to prevent critters from falling down. And by the way, people say, it happens very often, raccoons and things, sometimes even birds, bats falling down or staying, inside there. And you need to have them properly cleaned. A buildup of creosote can be a fire waiting to happen. And if you don't know how to do it, have a reputable chimney sweep come in. They're in your phone book. And again, I'm also from the type of person, again, because they're a service business, talk to a few people, family, friends, neighbors that have chimneys and find a chimney sweep that they like and bring one in. Now, with the fireplace, make sure you have the correct size fireplace screen in front of it, because yes, there are different sizes. One of the ones when I was in Taos, New Mexico, I really saw this was really neat. It was a custom-made fire screen. If you think about, if you don't know this, but Southwest fireplaces, they have an arched opening to them at the firebox. And this was a custom-made screen that fit it perfectly with a It was made of metal, obviously, with a metal handle right on the front of it. Really cool. So it gave me an idea to have a custom one made here. Now, whether you have any one of you, and we're talking about around your house, not campsites, but you would need to clean the ashes out regularly and don't discard them because they are beneficial to your plants. So you could sprinkle them around your yard. You can put them in your compost pile. So let's make sure that we utilize those ashes because, you know, I'm going to tell you that it's a hey, being an organic gardener guy, and you hear lots of my different shows on organic gardening, or I'm with Inspector Dave, my great friend, brilliant organic gardener. Well, ashes become part of it. Now, campsites and backpack fires, the winds and the size are their safety tips. So we spoke about that. And before the fire, make sure that you have toted some water from a stream or lake, pond, whatever's close, that you've brought it up. They have some great collapsible containers that you can actually fold down, put in your backpack, gallon containers. Make sure that you have water so as the embers are going down and burning down, and it's time to put out the fire, you're pouring the water on. And I always say this, pour it on slowly, pour it on slowly. Ensure that that fire is out because, once again, if you notice, the theme today also is safety. Make sure that you have a safe campsite. And there's a number of techniques you can use to start a fire. And I'm going to give you a few. These are mine. There are many others. You know, here's first thing is I split my own wood. I collect it after the storms. There are chainsaws. I'll probably even say this. I am sure that I will do a show on chainsaw safety. So that's how important that one is. I also collect my own kindling. I have these five large boxes, you know, cardboard boxes. And what I do is, after storm, I go around the property and I pick up all the down branches, break them up, and actually break them up so they fit in a box. Because once I know they fit in a box, it's the perfect size kindling to have any fire. And why do I have five boxes? Because, hey, I have lots of fires. So, and I'm always constantly refilling. It's just like rotation of stock because I want to make sure they're dry. So I move one box to the highest level. And the box at the low is the one I just collected. Just do it that way. And at the supermarket, I get brown paper bags for my groceries. And here's another way to recycle those bags. You're reusing the bags. Obviously, that's what recycle is. And I call them paper twists. And when I'm about to have a fire, I'll take a brown paper bag and I tear the bag up into, probably most times in thirds, and I just twist the, you know, a third of it, twist it, call it a fire twist. And I actually put those on first. And then I put my kindling on top of it. And in the wood-burning stove and the fireplace, I actually make a lean-to in the far corner with a twist and a kindling because it's just easy to then, you know, in those situations, because it's you don't have this huge, like in the fire pit, you have access to moving all around, all that. So I build actually a lean-to, and then as they're burning, I will lean a log right over it and lean-to in the corner, and they go up very, very quickly. So your outside fire pits, you're camping, your backpack, I use a Lincoln log method and still put the paper twist and the kindling inside. So many times I actually make a three-walled. I have one open side to it so I can sort of tend to that kindling to make sure it's going. But it's really easy because as it's burning, the first logs on the bottom now and my Lincoln logs are now catching fire. Obviously, that's what you're looking to do. And now, if you are camping or backpacking, you only use downed dead wood. So we don't go breaking anything. And in a forest, there are many pieces of downed dead wood. And if you're using a campsite that's often used, and sometimes even backpacking places that are often used, well, if somebody was there the night before and the nights before, well, then guess what? You may have to search a little further for your downed dead wood. And I always want to include, you know, if you have kids with you, include them in doing something because it's important that they learn that there's a process to what you're doing to the fun. Hey, and have them collect some of the wood. So that's really just a neat thing. So, gave you all that. Next to my fire pit outside, extinguishing the safety, I have a small hose, and probably about a 5-foot hose, some water that's right there, and I always keep a 5-gallon bucket of water filled. So, the bucket of water is sitting there. I am ready to, again, if there's a mishap of some sort, or we just need to extinguish it at the end of the night, I use that 5 gallons, and then with the 5 gallons, I will actually, you know, have the hose right there to refill. So you have that. With the wood-burning stove, it's an enclosed one. You close the flue in the back, so this way there's no air, and that fire will die out. With your fireplace, and you're camping, backpacking, I say this, as a night begins to wane on, slowly let it burn down. You got the hot coals, let it burn down, let it burn down. So you don't want to stoke it before you go to bed. So you're letting it burn down. And that's just a simple safety tip there. But now, hey, it is time for campfire showtime. So how do we entertain ourselves, our family, and our friends? Well, I'm going to tell you the first one, and just it works everywhere you go, and there's sing-alongs. And if you don't have a good voice, sing-alongs are great because people like to bellow around a fire. It's a great way to hide your non-melodic voice. Well, me, and I don't use it often. I'm a guitar guy. One of my minors in college was music, and believe it is, minor in college, music, and most people's, you know, are piano and violin and all this. Well, I was a guitar guy with my minor, so And I play it less and less because, again, my travels with Joey B. And, you know, hey, two things. You want to watch some of my adventures, you can go to joeyb.tv and watch them. Or if you have a question or a comment, you could always tweet me at Joey B. Outdoors. Well, my buddy Tony, who played on the Joey B.'s Outdoor Adventure theme song, one of the things that, like, we all have these goals in life. One of the things I always wanted to do was to go into a recording studio and record a song. And I have to go in, play one of the rhythm guitars on the song. My buddy Tony, brilliant guitarist. So Tony and his family, our families are all hanging out in the back and, you know, bring the guitars out there and we'll play a little bit and sing a little bit. And I'm going to tell you that just one of the more enjoyable times. But now watch this. We go to my friend Steve McCann's farm and we're out there and his dad, you know, there was, many times there was just one guitar and we just passed the guitar around and whoever had the guitar, it was your choice of song that you wanted to sing. Well, Mr. McCann could only play one, his dad could only play one song, and it was You Are My Sunshine. And you knew when the guitar came around to him, we would sing You Are My Sunshine. And it was so cool because, you know, it's, I guess the key is finding a popular song that everyone knows the lyrics to, and then now it's fun. So there's a little bit of the guitar stuff. You know, maybe some of you play some other. I probably wouldn't bring the drums out there. But you got some instrument stuff going on. How about telling some great ghost stories? And if you don't know some, you can go online. You can, hey, could you imagine going to your local library? You know, there is this big building with books. And people are like, what's that? Well, go to your library, find some of them. There's some really cool stories. And then there are some great Native American tales. And I know some great Native American stories. I do some Native American storytelling. My friend Jim Bruchak, one of the top Native American storytellers, his father, Joe Bruchak, number one Native American storyteller and writer in the country. So some Native American tales by the fire. Now, you can also do my one-word game. And the one-word game is this. Someone starts, and you're just sitting in a circle, and somebody says, the. Well, if I said the, you'd have to give the next word if you're sitting, you know, if we're going to the right and you're sitting right to me, and you said turkey. So I said the, and you said turkey, and it's got to happen like really quick. And the person would go, the turkey was, and the story just keeps, and it just continues to morph, and it is really an awesomely fun game. And I'll give you the example my niece Gabby always mentioned before. Sometimes we're in the truck and we're driving to an adventure somewhere, and we'll play this game, and it will just morph. And I am telling you, if you're looking for time to pass, it's a great time-passing game. But if you're looking just to have fun with your friends, because, again, my fun, and I tend to believe strong morals and values, and there's nothing profane in anything we talk about, anything we do, and it's just really good. Now, you tell those stories in a good, you know, morals and value way, and they're just really, sometimes they're crying funny. Well, at Campfire Showtime, you can also tell people, you know, sometimes you invite your, you know, family and friends, that everyone must perform. And they must tell a joke, a story. Some of the stories really are true stories in just a fun way or made-up stories, songs. And I know that one day I will do a show on outdoor cooking because I love food. So your deal is to find a comfortable chair. I have a rocker just for the fire pit. I have a rocker, a separate rocker that's next to my wood-burning stove. I also have a recliner next to my wood-burning stove with that heat. Well, I just tend to fall asleep. You know, those of you that have ever sat by the fire and you stare into the flames or the embers, it's just sort of mesmerizing. It's peaceful. It's great. So the things we need to know, be safe, make good decisions, and until next time, enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.
Joey B's Adventure. Joey B's Adventure. Joey B's Adventure. Joey B's Adventure.
That was awesome.